This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sounds like President Trump, but he's not one to take credit for a lot of stuff or predict a lot of huge accomplishments. But maybe it was him. I don't know. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. How you doing, professor?
I am doing well, and I hope you're well today, too.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get anybody mad. I'm just trying to continue on with the satire of Mardi Gras, even though it's over. Tell me, I mentioned yesterday, I'm just being honest with the audience, as I always am. Mardi Gras was an early day for me yesterday, a long day. I have a new puppy, so I didn't watch the address, and because I knew you were coming on, you would be able to give us the highlights, the lowlights, the truth, the what not so much, the exaggerations, the reactions, all that stuff. And why ruin my day? Tell me what went on at the. It wasn't a State of the Union, actually, was it, or was it?
It wasn't officially a State of the Union, but it was a state of Trump's vision of the Union, I would say, at that point. And I'll start off by saying that it was the longest speech a president has ever given before Congress. It was about an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes. I wasn't surprised by that, because by going that long, he pushed the Democratic response out of prime time. And so whether or not that was by design or by coincidence or by happenstance, I don't know. But the way I described the speech, it was, as you were sort of doing in the intro, he was taking credit for all the things that he's claimed that he's done so far. At the same time, he was expressing his grievances for all the things in terms of what immigrants, other countries, Mexico, Canada, everybody else is doing wrong against the United States. But I think the thing that really stood out to me the most, it was a clearly partisan speech. And what I mean by that, the way he, first off, the way the Democrats didn't applaud, the Republicans did, et cetera, but there was really no effort in part of the speech to reach out to the rest of America and to try to be kind of a reconciliatory speech. It was really Trump about himself and about the grievances that he and maybe many of his supporters still have.
But seriously, and that's why I was saying about it didn't sound like President Trump kidding around. First of all, I don't know if there was a plan, as you said, to push it in out of prime time or not, because I don't know if anybody watches the responses. I think in this day and age, it's just my unscientific opinion. If you love President Trump, you're going to watch him and cheer everything on. If you hate him, you're going to watch him like doom scrolling and just get yourself all angry. Then you're going to wait around to listen to the Democratic response and say, yeah, tell him. Or if you hate the Democrats, then you're going to listen and go, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? So I don't know anything about that. But I do know this. Love him or hate him, President Trump loves to be on television.
Yep.
He loves to have an audience. He loves to be the center of attention. And if he can hold both houses of Congress for an hour and 45 minutes, he's going to do it. He's going to stay up there until he gets tired of talking. And that's not to say it's a good thing or a bad thing. That is just an analysis. Would you not agree?
I agree. And remember, his real career was birthed on television and birthed in popular culture. He loves television as a medium. And the fact that he had the reporters, he had a lot of America, I don't know how many people have watched it yet, and we don't have any, I haven't seen any ratings, but the fact that he had that amount of attention for nearly 2 hours is exactly what he wants. And for his supporters, they loved it also in terms of 2 hours. And I'm even going to say for his opponents, the people who don't like him, the fact that they could grovel, or not grovel, growl at the television set for 2 hours. Grouse, whatever we're looking at here. We want to keep it clean. Yeah, we want to keep this clean, of course. A whole bunch of things that they could do for 2 hours to vent, to maybe vent. They got what they wanted to.
Nobody threw eggs at their television, I can tell you that. First of all, because it's just a giant mess you have to clean up. Secondly, eggs are too damned expensive. Let's talk about some of the things that he said. One thing that interested me was he said that he inherited an economy that was a catastrophe. But I asked, and I wanted to get this on the record, just, and again, not to make any points with anybody, not to score any scores for or against anybody, but just for a fact, a baseline, if you will, I asked a very conservative economist that's our guest.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where is the economy? And I asked him this the day before President Trump took office. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say? Everything combined, because it's you got the stock market, you got 401ks, you got interest rates, you got home, this, you know, all this different economic indicators. He said 8 out of 10. So I said, okay. So if that's the case, then I don't know how the president could say that he inherited an economy that was a catastrophe. Now, if you want to be factual about it, but on the other hand, I can also see where it makes sense to blame the previous administration, even though you said you were going to fix prices and you said you were going to do this. But again, to be fair, a candidate promising one thing and not doing it is hardly newsworthy either.
I think you're absolutely right. I was going to say somewhere around the 7 or 8, you know, I think where I've seen a lot of economists putting it. And I think partly what doomed Biden and eventually Harris is when they were saying the economy was great, but a lot of people were thinking about, as you pointed out, you know, milk, bread, especially eggs at this point. And he said, I'm going to bring the prices down. I'm going to address that. So if we look at that in terms of a barometer, the price of eggs is not down but up. In the last couple of days, because of the tariffs, the stock market is down. For people who are on a daily basis looking at their 401ks and that, first off, don't do it. Yeah. But it doesn't look quite as good. And so on a lot of indicators right now, the economy is weaker. And I think one of the stories that also came out yesterday is that there's indications that there was some collapse in terms of the GDP in the first couple of months of this year. So a lot of things are going on that if you went from a factual perspective, that economists are looking at the numbers, they would say the economy is weaker now than it was on January 20th or January 19th when you took office.
Somebody texted in, so you didn't watch the speech, but you're discussing it today? Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm discussing it with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. He also teaches law. He watched the entire thing, and I didn't have to. So I don't know what point you're trying to make, 35, 36, but I read your text, so there you go. People are texting in about Democrats not applauding for cancer patients or something. I don't know. But again, you look for an enemy, you look for a hero when you watch these things, depending on what side you're on. And it has become just intensely partisan, these speeches, where the Democrats won't clap for the Republicans and the Republicans won't clap for the Democrats. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, that's Alyssa Slotkin, a Democrat from Michigan with the Democratic Response. We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. Professor, two people are texting me incessantly about some moment where they had a kid with cancer or something, and I'm not, you know, we go to Children's Hospital and I can donate out of my pocket. I'm very concerned. It means a lot more to donate out of your pocket than it does to stand and applaud. What happened with a child with cancer last night?
Well, apparently last night when talking about the child with cancer, again, I couldn't tell from looking at the what station I was watching, but it doesn't look like the Democrats sort of did the applause or standing in the way the Republicans did. But again, I won't mention what station I was watching, but from what I was seeing, I just saw Trump. I saw the child. So I don't quite know what the Democrats did, but that's apparently there wasn't that kind of standing or applauding in the way that the Republicans were doing, and there was clearly criticism. People are saying that what the Democrats don't care about children with cancer and so forth. I think people are going to interpret that moment through the eyes of whatever they have, and look at it from all their own perspectives in terms of what was going on. But clearly, some people are saying Democrats are indifferent, to children with cancer.
And I would suggest, while people are tapping on the seatbelt light while the plane is losing altitude, that has what to do with the price of eggs, with groceries, with the stock market, with tariffs, with their own individual lives?
It doesn't have very much to do with anything, nor did some of the other scenes where they gave, what was it, a 10-year-old boy? What was it? They made him now, a government agent or something like that? Or they made somebody, Trump proclaimed that somebody has now been admitted to the West Point Academy. These are made for television moments. I mean, if I'm going to call it that, I mean, that's when it struck me last night. It was kind of like the stay tuned for the next surprise or something like that. And, or the next big thing that's going to happen, or I don't know, so-and-so, what's that show? Price is Right. So-and-so, come on down like that and you win the big prize or something like that. It just had that feel to it for me at parts of it in terms of how it was being orchestrated.
It's theater. All of it is, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans.
Exactly.
Politically speaking, if you can get somebody, this has nothing to do with President Trump. I don't care if it's Obama, Clinton, Trump, mm-hmm. pick a name. If you can get somebody to look over here and distract them by either hating somebody or worried about this, or this one didn't clap, or this one was wearing blue, or this one was wearing red, or that kind of foolishness, well, then maybe you can get their eyes off the real problems in the country that take serious decisions, serious actions, some of which you can fix, some of them you can't. And this is at the state, local level, whatever it is, state, you name it. If you can get people worried about the confusion over here, then maybe they don't worry so much about the stuff that actually concerns them that you can't fix. Accurate or not?
I think it's accurate, and it's in both parties at that point. And so yesterday going into a discussion about what the Democrats were going to wear, also I saw some people talking about the fact that Trump didn't wear a big red tie yesterday for the first time. What does that mean? And then it was all about that. I'm going to have to say it was silly. With the Democrats holding up these little cards and stuff like that that said, what, lie or not truth or something. All of this is just theater. I think, if I can remember my Shakespeare right, what is it? Shakespeare said, life is but a stage. Age, and we're all but actors and actresses upon it. I think it was, I can't remember what Shakespeare it was or something like that, but that's, again, go back to it. It was interesting theater yesterday.
Which is why I didn't watch it, because not only was it not interesting theater, it was bad theater. Whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, it's bad theater. Now, if you want to watch good theater, I suggest you watch Waitress. Thank you, David Schultz. Appreciate it. We'll come back, talk about tariffs. 6:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.